And so with that introduction, we now invite Brother Frank to speak to us on the subject, the impact of electronic devices in the life of a believer.
Thank you, Brother Dan, and good evening, brethren and young people. I really would like to run this a little differently than just to speak to you for whatever time is available, for the very reason that this is a subject which is, I've never heard anybody talk about it or address directly. You may have addressed it indirectly in an exhortation in the Bible class, but this has got too big to ignore. And probably the best way to talk about this would be to sort of just lead a discussion on ways that we have prepared to help people just come to grips with what we're doing. What I really wanted to do was to deal with the issues that relate to the electronics in the life of a believer. We just happen to be living in a very unique age. Of all the ages that we could live in, here we are. It's us that are on stage. It's us that are having to deal with the dynamics of the age. If one was to think that this was part of what we find in Daniel's prophecy, that knowledge would be increased, you could certainly make a case for it on the basis that it's taking centuries of time for men and women and their development of things to get to the point of the electronics that we are, that they're in. And just to give you an idea, I thought what I'd do is I put a screen on and I try to see if there's anybody who can think of things I've missed. So a lot of us older ones can go back to radio. I can remember the first television that I ever saw, and telephones coming in, and then recording devices, and then computers, and then handheld devices, instrumentation that we've had at work, which cover a whole lot of things, but electronically, then remote control devices, the internet, robotics. What other fields of electronics have I left out?
I guess all of those included in the medical system.
Medical?
The medical developments that have become electronic as well.
Let's see if it's back here where we were. Yeah, see, I can't edit that from a show, so I just have to, we'll just have to live with what I got on there. Maybe talk about other things. Yes, John?
iPods and MP3 players.
Okay. As you know, we're going to advance from this into some of the things and the way it's influenced us. But I was just trying to think of going back into my mind anyway to where those things have come into our life. I can certainly remember computers. That's probably impacted me most of all those things because in education, when they came in as a revolution, just totally throwing over the ways that we learned how to compose literature or writing. It completely overthrew the way we drew things, so we're drawing differently. It had a very big impact in the way we store information, the way we transfer information. And I would think it's probably the same with most of you. The computers have had the biggest impact. But now, when you get into these iPods, or you get into these handheld devices where our young people are, who knows where this is going to go? And what we've got to do is maybe from time to time speak up on what is good, what is bad, what we want to stay away from, what we can benefit by, and not just allow it to happen, because in many cases in our modern life, we just go from crisis to crisis because we didn't see it coming necessarily. We didn't understand what problems it would have for our young people, and we just got into it. And then how do we get out of it? And some of these things can burn us so badly that the people that did get into it and got burned will never recover, will never be the same because of what's happened. And that, to my mind, is the reason for the talk, is that we need to be a little more proactive than to just allow these things to happen. So, areas of life where electronics have made its impact. Well, communications is just big in every aspect. I mean, we could spend the whole evening, I'm sure, on how communications have changed because of electronics. But in our vocations, in our the way we make our living, many of us have a job only because of electronics. Many of us have lost our jobs because of electronics. It's having a huge impact on vocations. So that people are sort of channeled into areas of life. We go to where the electronics is, where the city, where the electronics are located, or where the company is set up as headquarters. So it's ruling our life to where we actually live. It's changing our ability to comprehend. I'll give you a little story on this. In education, going up through this, I started teaching in 1969, so we've really seen quite a shift in what people do in education. And we have steadily seen the decline in people's ability to comprehend. Now, I don't teach English, I teach math. But when you put English in math, that's when you notice it. So I have got very good math students, if I give them just a pure math question with numbers. But if I give them a word problem, they're no better than the worst students, because they can't comprehend. They can't seem to see what are the critical things in the word problem. And I just watched that over the years. This gets steadily worse, the ability to comprehend what you read. And something else that that sort of made me want to get out of this teaching business is the fact that YouTube is having a huge impact upon education. And it's having its impact upon education because it started off like anybody could put whatever you wanted on YouTube, and everyone thought, well, that's the quality you get. But the quality has greatly increased. So that now you've got a lot of companies, you've got a lot of people, for whatever reason, are putting good stuff, quality stuff, on YouTube. So I'm teaching a course in engineering materials, where I've got to talk about all of the modern materials that we would use in engineering, and try to keep the students interested. Well, the way you used to do that was you had a very good textbook, lots of colored pictures, and you did lots of writing on a blackboard, and you sort of involved the students that way. But I have found, without pictures, without quality pictures, you can't turn these people on. And, you know, you've got to understand, I'm not teaching public school or secondary. This is tertiary education. So this is, the minimum age would be 17, and it goes up to 60 of the age levels of the students. So it's completely up to them what they want to do. They want to waste their time and have their computer at their desk and watch something other than what I'm talking about. That's quite possible. They can be texting to other students. They can be talking to somebody at home. All these things are happening in a classroom. So it's only because of electronics that could happen. And I just think that what's taking place is a real shift in the way people learn. But we're very static. We haven't changed the style in which we present to our audience since I was first able to listen to it. We have stayed with the same thing. There's a God brother would go to something like this and put something on. But other than that, we are staying with that same way of learning. I don't think we have any choice in these matters. This is the way it's changing out there. And the ability to comprehend Alpha's Israel and other books or even the Bible is steadily being lost. And what people turn on to is YouTube. Something that's a picture, something that's flashing, something that's changing every second. There's no requirement to do anything but just look. Now, if that's the case, what do we do about it? Do we just let it drift and drift until having discussions with our students, trying to describe things to our students, is just not making its impact anymore because they don't learn that way. Or can we do something about it? Now, I really haven't got a lot of ideas. The Bible is the Bible, and I have never seen anything that's done with pictures that can ever really, for me, do anything. I would like to keep my imagination intact. I'd rather someone didn't show me in pictures the Lord Jesus Christ teaching. There's a lot of that out there today. You can buy a video on the Gospel of John, where it's not only the record, it's also people acting it out. And I tell you, it's pretty professionally done. But still, I would rather not see that picture of Jesus' face. I'd rather not see him explaining things to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'd rather just leave it to my imagination and let it be enlivened by the Word. But that's not where our kids are going. And as these productions get better and better, and as they get into communication devices that are smaller, what do we do? Watch it happen? I don't like being losing these battles by default. I'd rather be in there trying to do something about it. Entertainment, a huge issue. Where students can't, you know, take any more than maybe 10 or 15 minutes of lecture, and they switch off, have their computers at their desk and start watching something that's more entertaining. Because entertainment's such a big factor of their life. They gotta play a game. They gotta communicate with somebody else in the room or somebody outside of the room. Yet, in all of this, there is, just skip over temptation for a minute, the opportunities. Like, we grew up in a country, there was, in a country setting, there was no library nearby that was of any consequence. So everyone would find something out. It was kind of difficult. You had to go down to either the college library, the university library, to really get something. That's just totally changed. Where in your own house, connected to the internet, you can find quality information on a lot of things. I'm not talking about the Bible necessarily, but just generally. You want to find out something, it's right there. So the opportunities are immense. In just the last few years, we've seen people come up with CDs of all of the Christadelphia magazine issues in the last 100 years. Can be searched. You can find almost any topic you're supposed to be getting a Bible class on. You can find what the brethren have said about that. We can carry it for someone who's we're talking about this at supper time. And you can carry a van load of books in your computer and access them and search them. So we can find information much faster than we ever could before. In fact, the little program I have, which is, you know, I've stayed with a version I felt was good, and maybe I should have actually stayed with an earlier version, but it's made me study very differently. Because I can search a word, and I can do it so quickly. The idea was spend more time studying and less time searching. So you got a whole library of books, but trying to find something in that library of books takes time, and when you have less time, you opt out to do the computer way because it's the best way to use the little time you have. I'm not sure that it's all good, but it is certainly a very useful way to study. Now, people get hooked on electronics. A bad use of money. You ever try to keep up with all the versions? Keep up with the latest software? Keep up with the latest hardware? The biggest screens? The clearest definition? New gadgets. I have at the very end there, widow making. I think you know what I mean. You can spend all your life in your room, and your wife is somewhere else in the house, but you've got locked into your computer and into your studies. You may think that even that's good, but it also ruins marriages because we were never meant to be away from our wives and our families as much as some people are because of this. We were never, I think, ever intended to use so much money to keep up. Maybe we don't need to keep up, but if you're in business, you really can't afford not to keep up. It's got a lot of edges. The use of time, like just the access information that's not all necessary information, but it's so easy to catch the weather that, you know, you add a whole lot of times we're actually just on the computer to find the weather or getting the latest news on Google or something, or doing something with Google. Is that really a good use of our time? We didn't used to do that, and we got along all right. These are the things that are changing our life. And the ease of travel, the way you can arrange all your travel on your computer, then you plug in your GPS, and away you go. And you, I mean, this is, we've got to understand, we never used to do this. And because it's made and designed by people who really don't have God in mind, and don't have God in mind for their family either, we might expect that it's not going the way of God. It might not be directly against it. But again, you don't want to just do these things because they're available. We want to look at them to see if it really is valuable. Information overload. Wow. I mean, you know that by just the number of emails we get. And do we need to get all those emails? Do we need to know everything about a subject? But that's the way it is. And stress, well, you know, stress is not a disease that you can recognize immediately. If you have some other problem and you have stress, generally the problem is aggravating. And it could very well be that a number of us are really not that well because of the stress related to all of these things and the impact they're having in our life. We don't even know it. And of course, the ease of shopping is wonderful, but it can also be crippling. Where you can make decisions by just pressing a button that you would never have made had you not been on that page looking for something. So you can go into bargain shops. It's like impulsive buying. Impulsive buyers shouldn't use this. It's so easy to get locked into something that you don't need and can't afford. I don't know whether they are the issues or whether they're all the issues, but they certainly are issues, and we need to consider them. Now, before I open this up, I'd just like to look at a few verses, because it's not that, you know, we just want to talk about that. We want to talk about where it is relative to what we believe. Now, you can look at it, and you can justify this. You know, when you're using PowerPoint, how you can present things in a sense so much better, because you can point out clearly what you're trying to illustrate in your talk. You can put diagrams on there. You can move them around. You can develop things on screen. You can actually feel that you really have achieved what you're trying to achieve in a lesser time by using PowerPoint and other devices that allow you to more, you know, falling in line with reading the law of God distinctly to cause people to understand what you mean. And, you know, you can't just talk to one side of the issue, because that is quite true. There would be not many teachers in the school I taught that didn't use PowerPoint in their addresses and in their talks. Like, it's almost always there. In fact, when you ever ask a student to make a presentation, the student knows how to use this too. And they make their presentation with PowerPoint. So as you look down the road, you see these things are with us to stay. It's no use sitting there and saying, I don't like it, I don't want anything to do with it. Well, if you do that, just stay out of the whole thing. But this is, as long as the Lord doesn't intervene, we'll be going on until it's all over. We got to live with this, and we got to learn how to live with this. But it also could be worse communications. And we've learned that, where emails are so easy to write, so easy to send, that some people write them and send them to the wrong people. If you've ever received an email that you shouldn't have got, like it was meant for the other person, not you. And that's just electronics in our day. And it's been very embarrassing for some people who had spent all this time writing on one side of the issue, and then they sent it to the people on the other side when they meant to send it to the people on the side that they wrote on. But, as the Lord said, I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. By thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. taking less time to make up what you're going to say and send it off is not keeping with the sentiments of that passage. Idle words are words that people say without being in gear. Their head's not in gear, and they're running that way, and you have great difficulty when you have a machine like that at any time. Now, we're told, we read this in the reading tonight, that when it comes to time, we should be buying it up. Not to use on the computer, but for all the things that we need to do to prepare for the Lord's coming. It may involve the computer, it may involve some of these electronic things, but I think redeeming the time is probably going the other way, because normally computers take time we really don't have. We take it out of other things. We take it away from our family, we take it away from our wife, we take it away from our job at times. People on the computer in job time when they shouldn't really be on there for those things. That's just the way it is out there. So redeeming the time would only be consistent with maintaining our cause as a disciple of the Lord. And the days certainly are evil. If you look at the Colossians counterpart to that, it says with respect to time, to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And it suggests that we can get into real difficulty when we don't walk in wisdom towards people that are not, you know, in the faith, don't share our ideas of how we would use our time and our resources, and therefore we just waste time. And that can be in a lot of other things related to other than just the use of the computer or electronic devices. Now, we found this one out, and this one was really a surprise to me. Like, I was shocked by what I found out about this, and I'm sure there's a few of you would know all about this, but some of you may not. That this verse, there are a couple of verses in Ephesians, tell us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But you have your computer linked to the internet in your own room, away from anybody else, where no one knows really what you're watching or what you're doing. And you know how sometimes when you're on the internet, a screen will suddenly show that you never caused this thing, you had no idea of doing this, but it was to attract you to something else. Has led some of our brethren into a way of life which is totally corrupt, and that's pornography. But in your own room, no one else around, it's provided a means for people to invest in very corrupting things. And young people, if young people have to come and tell us, look, we don't know how to get out of this. And I heard this when I was in Australia, and from young brethren who said, I'm addicted to this. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I really must say, it took me more than one day to try to really come to grips with what they were saying. I could not believe that any young brother would ever become addicted to pornography through the computer. Especially brethren who were really solidly in the truth and seemed to have their life on track. But what you can do in secret is really troubling. And, you know, brethren got together quickly after that. What can we do? Well, there was a group of two or three brethren that said, we are going to put a server or develop a server which will lock out those things. That you can't do that. It won't let you get into those sites. And you will notice that if you write an email to some of the brethren in Australia, they have a server called WebShield. And that is to lock out those places. So your brethren, if they are addicted to it and they still want to use the computer, they cannot get those websites because it won't allow it. That's good sense. but we had to learn by failure. You may remember in our exhortation, we're talking about the way the Lord Jesus Christ, with strong crying and tears, he learned the price of obedience. Not through trial and error. He couldn't have learned through trial and error. He would have sinned if he had done that. But we stumble in it that way because we really aren't looking ahead to see where these things lead. We don't give advice to our young people, and maybe even not to ourselves. Like, this is not necessarily a young people's problem. And I just think, brethren, we've got to look at this in the light of the electronics and say, and speak more to our ecclesia, and speak more to our brethren at other times, maybe in young people activities, to help them through this. Now, this sin keeps people out of the kingdom of God. And I don't know, I've never heard of anybody ever being disfellowshipped for covetousness. I doubt very much anybody would know what the limits are. Like, when would you say a person is too covetous? It's a bit alarming in such a covetous age that we live in, where it's so easy to be covetous, where you're enticed to be covetous, where you're told to buy things to help the economy, and it's easy to buy into this idea. And yet God says that if you have covetousness, you won't be in the kingdom. And there's the reason. Because when you're covetous and you're not content with such things as you have, then you're really denying what the Lord said, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that in saying to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now if you look at that little citation, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that really is only found in the context of leaders in the Old Testament. Moses, Joshua. Most surprising to ever see that applying in a general way. Well, to my mind, the reason it's in a general way is because this is such a difficult battle for people that we really need to buy into what it says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And many of these devices, little by little, take us away from our God. Now, some of you may have heard me say this before. I hope you won't mind me saying it again. I'm not saying anything against cell phones. But a cell phone doesn't necessarily lead us toward God. It can lead us away from God. Now some of you, and I can imagine this for our children, did children grow up in a cell phone age? Well, doesn't everybody have a cell phone? Didn't everybody always have a cell phone? No, there were times when you didn't have telephones and you still got into difficulty. Your car still broke down on a road in a dark night in a way there was no help around. And you couldn't just get on a telephone and ask someone to come and help you. What did you do? You prayed. You used the cell phone that we all have, doesn't charge you a thing. But because we have cell phones, and because it's so easy to call up the Automobile Association, call up a tow truck, call up help, call home or whatever, we call on God less. And you can see it's not a right or wrong issue. It's just what is taking us away a little more from our God. So that the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about prayer, ended the session, will he find the faith when he comes? Will he find people that still will pray to God? Because all these things really are supplied by a godless age, and for people without a God, they need them. I just suggest that's a big issue. And with it so easy to shop at 2 o'clock in the morning, on the internet, and make deals involving thousands of dollars, nobody else around but you and your computer, and the belief the system works. It's a sign of walking on the edge, seems to me. And then close to the edge here, or the end of this little presentation, the vanity and vexation of spirit of all. Is I think a lot of people getting to the end of our lives, looking back on it, just to see it's just another avenue of madness, where all we've been doing is vexing ourselves more and more by getting involved in all these electronic devices, like you can see with my difficulty here to even get this going. Got into that difficulty many, many times in various ecclesias where I was just hoping that someone else would know as a, you know, a new device. When I connected up to it, everything went wrong. Like the screen started to be a different resolution. I'm only seeing part of it. And you sort of wonder, maybe it would be better just not to do this. And I say maybe we would, that's where we would conclude, but we shouldn't think that our kids will go that way, because that's all they'll know. They do this in school and they get so good at it. Who knows where this may be if our Lord doesn't intervene in another 10 years. So a better use of electronic devices. There's a lot of connecting points. In the use of our time, what would you recommend? What limits do you put for your kids or for young people in the ecclesia if you don't have any children? How would you advise them to the use of the internet? The allocation of resources. What would you advise a person who is saying, look, I've got to get the latest version? Like Windows and all these things to know that. This is the way they sell more things, is change the version. Get a new version out there. So publishing companies have been doing this for ages. They bring out a new edition. The new edition is not quite like the old one, so if you don't have the new edition, you can't communicate with your students. So they all got to buy a new edition. That's the way people make money. Well, how would we allocate our resources to new things? Can you really get along with some of the older versions of Windows today? Entertainment. What would you recommend? One of the things I found really sad about this is that young people love to come together to watch a movie. Like, why would you do that? One of the things that we did when we were in our earlier years, when none of this was available, is when young people got together, there was always lots of noise because it was, they were interacting. They were having fun. And now you see a night when young people come together, it's not a noise anywhere except the noise of a movie being shown. That's not fellowship. That's not what we had intended for CYC, but it's just happening, you see, because we, in some cases, just leave it up to the young people to decide what to do. I think we've got to be more proactive in that. Look at the impact of Facebook. I'll tell you, I won't tell you. I will just assume you know about Facebook, about the tangles that you can get into on Facebook. Why would you want to tell the world who you are, what you are, how good you are, what you look like? We just had another case in Southern Ontario, which is, it's just shocking what happened in the ecclesia. A young sister in her parents' home having a conversation over a couple years with somebody she'd never met on the internet. And when she finally meets them, she falls in love with them. Not a brother, knows nothing about the Bible, she's never talked to him about the Bible, and goes off and marries him without him being baptized. Do you think we should be worried about this? That's Facebook. Advertising yourself on Facebook, rather than, we've got to intervene in some of these things. They're just too defiling. They're just, we just want to lose our kids? Let them have their way on Facebook. Then you've got Bible programs. Now, Brother Kevin Spry is going to show you something when I get done here. I just wanted him to, I asked him to come to show you what he's got, just to illustrate where it goes and what you could do today. Then there's the application to children, just to children, where there's going to be, I would think, a tremendous number of products that apply to children. Are we just going to let our children have these things? Are we going to monitor them? What should we do about it? In education, our young people are going to require computers. Our college has almost made that decision that anyone who comes to college now has to come with a computer. And the college will lease them the software they need all the time that they are in college. So that if you think, well, our kids are not going to get a computer, it could be a problem when they go to college or they go to university and they said, well, you're not going to use a computer, you really can't come here. That's coming. Who knows? knows where this is going to end. No wonder the Lord decided at one stage to just change the languages, confuse them all, and scatter them around the earth. Because what people had imagined to do was not in keeping with what he had as a purpose for mankind. Now, language is not much of a barrier. People can get together, corporations around the world working with people in all countries and languages. People are coming to do things we might never have imagined they could do. Can you imagine people putting a chip in your head where somehow or other they've been able to blend thought processes and that chip so that now instead of using your computer, you just think it? Now people are writing about that. They already think that that's possible. Whether that will happen in our lifetime, whether the Lord will come back, I don't know. But these are the things we're getting into, and we don't want to just stumble into it and assume that, it's really not something we need to be concerned about. We do need to be concerned about it. Kevin, if you would want to just give us a little word on that, please. You have to explain what it is. And,
well, in terms of Frank, while you're talking to him, we'll go, how many have heard of Kindle, an e-reader? And most, a lot of people have. I mean, there's the iPad. I'm sure you've probably, some people have heard of the iPad and so on. And I'm just showing them, this is what I was given. And actually, it's probably now the iPad has surpassed it, I'm sure. But it's an e-reader. It's the size of a paperback book. It's about the weight of it. It actually looks like a paperback when you look at the text. It's gray. And to like go, you know, paper and so on. And I was telling Frank that I got this as a gift because I travel a lot. And for terms of traveling and trying to carry books, you can hold about 1,500 books on this. So I have a version of the Bible on here. I have some Christadelphian books on here. Anything that's a PDF book, you can, that makes make sense to some people, but you can put on here and load on, but as well as purchasing anything that's available online as far as any kind of resources at all. So kind of for me as well, when I get into these books, like for the Bible version I have here, I can actually do a search of words. I can look for any word and where it occurs. I can make notes on here. I can highlight the text and so on. So I can use it as almost like a little mini wide margin Bible that I can actually write in and so on. And I can go back through those notes and search those as well for the future. So that's just one of the things that, I mean, I found handy anyways for...
A couple of the features you told me about, Kevin.
Oh,
the read.
There's also on here, there's a speech to text. So if I instead would rather not have to actually read it, but I want to just listen, I can listen to it. I can plug in a headset or just actually come through the speakers on it and just... And it'll read the text to me. It also changes the font size for those who are getting, like myself, getting up there in years, that you can actually make the text larger or smaller as the case may be.
The other thing about the battery life.
A solid use at least a week, but up to a month if with intermittent use.
So when you're on a flight, you know how sometimes the battery limit is a bit disturbing? So that if it goes on for a month, then that pretty well solved that problem. Now that it just steadily grows as to the capabilities. And what I think we have to think about, like as far as I'm concerned, I just assume get off this treadmill and get on to just normal living like we lived years ago. But for the sake of our kids, we can't do that. We've got to understand where they are and try to give them some direction as to how they can best use these devices in the time, money, resources, restraints that we live in. Now, is there any comments out there? Because I'm sure there's a few things stirred up.
One of the other issues really that's happening is that just about every profession now is requiring computer use. So anything from professionals to truck drivers, what we work with, we have truck drivers an awful lot that need to have computers. They need to have GPS devices. They need to be able to have satellite communications so they can talk to their companies, because that's how the company wants them to talk. A lot of professions now are required to be able to do that. And so it's almost as if the only professions now are self-employed with things such as carpentry. But even with that, it's becoming more pervasive and invasive in every motor vehicle life. So the question is, how do you wisely balance what is just about essential to be able to survive in a vocational setting with being able to survive in a spiritual setting? How do you do that?
No. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, a couple of things. Sure. I'm one of the generations not really very literate with computers. I used to spend hours flipping through a Strong's Concordance until my kids showed me that by having an online Bible program, for doing a couple of minutes, what took me hours. And that's about the limit of my use for computers. But one thing I've observed, as far as the brothers are concerned, are two things I'd like to mention. One is how people have abused the internet to have their quarrels in Christadelphia. Often young people are going to be in their barn, the old term, washing out dirty in public, all the controversies bring, come out, and they cause the enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme when they see the name Christadelphia linked with these various issues. That was one thing. The other thing is on Facebook. Now, I don't use Facebook, I'm not trying to do it, but the things I've seen, talk about the pride of life, how people can be involved, not so everybody didn't know that, but in the trivia and the self-focus that's involved in Facebook. So-and-so is happy that so-and-so does this. I'm going to bed, I'm going to brush my teeth. All sorts of nonsense. How can intelligent people be so self-focused on such trivia? I think those that are involved, especially the young people, beware of what you're doing to yourself by that kind of self-focus, that pride of life.
I was just going to say, sort of related to what you said about information, I do IT and education. That's what I teach. That's one of my courses at a graduate school. But one of the things that always strikes me is you have up there information overload. That's not the problem. What we need to be really concerned with is the misinformation overload. There's so much out there that people can say anything, and young people are believing what they read. It's the gospel truth, so to say. They believe what they're reading, and that can have a huge impact upon our young people and upon adults as well, because we're getting to the point where what we're reading, going back, we're not thinking. Our comprehension isn't there, as you mentioned, and we're taking this information, wow, this is so interesting, but nobody does any research to see, is this real fact? Does this really exist? And to me, that is the biggest problem with the information on the internet. So we can learn how to guide our children on our allocating time, internet use, and that, but it's the information that they're receiving. It doesn't need to be pornography. There's so many different doctrines that are on there that you're exposed to quickly and instantly, and we don't know how to distinguish between what is valid, what is real, and what isn't.
That's Wikipedia.
That is Wikipedia as well, yes. Yeah.
I hope someone's got a comment or two on music, because that's not one of my strengths, but I'm sure there's something to be said on that.
Yeah. Just mention something that you brought up when you were in the UK at our Bible school. In the Bible class, you said about the first introduction to something, and you brought up the situation of a baseball game. But for tonight's talk, we could do it on a movie. Once you introduce somebody to a movie for the first time in their life, when they then have a period where they're getting down in their life, or they have an evening where they're not quite sure what to do, they remember that good time when they sat and they vegged out on the couch and didn't have to do anything at all, and remembered how they actually felt pretty good about what they were seeing, and then it becomes a habit, and then it detracts from the spiritual life. So it's that first introduction that, I'm not a parent, I know that, but that the kids, the young kids, should be restricted to.
Yes. You see, it is so easy when you're a parent, busy as we are, to just let the kids watch something. let the kids do something that's electronic to get them out of our hair for a while we could do something else. We didn't have that temptation, really, a long time ago. It's new. How do we cope with that one?
We have TV and radio.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's just a convenient.
Yeah. Well, the thing is now they can get what they would call to be a good video, you see, and you put on a video, it's Mickey Mouse or somebody, and it's that's okay. But what it's doing is it's taking away the hours and hours that a mother needs to spend with their children, teach them to read, to teach them how to be a mother. And if that's the way we teach our kids how to parent, look out at the next generation. You know, it's just only going to get more of that. Music. Some of you young people want to talk about that a bit. Keith, do you want to talk about that?
Not about music, no. But I was just thinking, you know, television and all these electronic things that are going on now, it's caused an obesity epidemic. Because the kids, instead of playing out the games there, they'll sit and, I don't know the names, I'm not computer savvy, but, you know, they'll sit and play the games on the TV. And instead of being out there running around, and what's happening in North America as a whole, kids are just getting huge, and you know, it's not a spiritual thing in that sense, you know, but it's going to take their lives before too long.
Being a spectator, that's the way they'll go through life without doing anything.
Just one thing about music, and just share with you a personal instance. Before Dan here, who's done an absolutely great job of all the concertos and spiritual music that he's done, and before I used to come out to Canada, I used to listen to the radio a lot, and to rock stations and all that. And thankfully, now that Dan's done so much music, you can actually get away from that, and you can focus your lives on listening to spiritual music, and it actually helps me out in talks. You play that spiritual music in the background, and one of the songs will connect them with your talk, and you wouldn't have thought of that verse that that song is quoting. But talking about the addiction of music, when I was traveling out from Saskatchewan on that 15-hour drive, we were listening to a lot of Dan's music and some classical music, and the device we were using was an iPod, and we had a radio transmitter which then plays the iPod through the car speaker systems or system. And when we switched on the radio transmitter, the radio station that it came up with automatically was a rock music station. And I was driving along, and Sister Kirsten was just changing the station, or changing over from CD to radio. And as soon as that rock music came back on, all of a sudden I was happy. It was that instant, and it made me realize, because I haven't listened to it for such a long time, it made me realize how powerful and how much of a grasp it can actually get on you in such a small amount of time. So it's finding a way to actually get rid of that. And I know what my dad has done has actually ripped out the aerial in his car so he can't listen to the radio. He can still play CDs and he can still listen to talks, but he has to think about which CD he puts in the CD player then. And he can't switch over to radio accidentally and then go, oh, but now it's on, I might as well listen to it. So it's actually eliminating some of the things that we could do and making sure that we focus on the right way of doing things.
Someone else on something on music, if there is. Jerome, you got something on?
Yes, and the first thing we started off on, I'll get into the music in a minute. I'm not on the internet, and I don't want to ever be on the internet. I am self-employed, and I have government forms to fill out, and I go to the library, get them done, and get home. And most people, when you tell them you're not on the internet, they go, oh, it's like they feel sorry for you. But they will fax you things, and they will call you, you know, to help you out or whatever. So when I'm dealing with suppliers and all that, even customers, I deal with fax and phone or personal visit. But I use the computer and the internet as a tool only. And I want to get something done, like mostly for talks. And just really discipline myself. And I don't have any games. I don't even know how to play games. And I didn't even get a sound card that was, or video card that's very big and all that stuff. So even if somebody wanted to put games on it, they'd probably crash my computer. So that's another way of limiting yourself. So I use it for a tool, and I'm a carpenter, so I wouldn't carry all my tools with me every day and expect to use them all, and as well to be adept at using them all. So why do we have to buy every device for a computer, and we never even really used the full features of the last one, so why, you know, keep upgrading and that kind of thinking? Now about the music, I was into music very deeply. I had all the instruments except the bass guitar, soundboard, everything. And I had made up my mind I was going to travel and have a band. Well, I had 1,200 albums, and I listened to pop, rock, folk, nothing to do with country and rap. And it really was an addiction. Music is a heavy, heavy addiction years ago. And I gave away everything. Got rid of every last bit of it, so that all I have is instrumental classical music and some Christian CDs, Christadelphian CDs, I should say. Now, when I hear in a mall, and I hate going to malls, but I gotta go sometimes, and I hear music, I know exactly who's playing it, and what year the album came out, and most of that trivia, because it's still in my mind, as well as the lyrics. But, you know, the lyrics come to mind now. What these people are singing about mostly is lust, and then fornication, and then money, and then all kinds of other evil. And romanticism has got the word Roman, and it's just wicked. It's not really what God intended for young people to be falling in love in the secular sense. It's a whole different meaning in a biblical sense. Music is extremely addictive. It doesn't matter what kind it is. And it'll make you branch out into bigger things. And there's not many people that are into music in a big way, rock, rap, or other kinds of music, gothic, heavy metal, whatever, that aren't also into drugs, which at one time I was. So that goes back to the telephone radio era. But now music is becoming much more sophisticated, trance music, you know, and stuff that gets people just raves. You heard of raves? People will go into a deafening environment and so pumped up with volume, take some certain kinds of drugs and just sit there on a bench. They don't even dance. And that's how wild it's become to just space out and be with other people who are spaced out. And that's supposed to be an experience. And that's even 10 years old. I don't even know what's going on with MP3s anymore, but it's extremely dangerous.
Thank you. Mr. Beck?
Yeah. I used to be into the same thing, rock and roll, when I was younger, and became introduced to through the internet and the ability to download it very easily, and very quickly found it to be an addiction. And probably maybe 3 years later, realized how unscriptural the basis for all of it was. And by that time, I had gone to some of the concerts, and it's on the rock side, it was some of the so-called better bands, but again, you have drugs and everything at those concerts. And having wanting to have nothing to do with it, it still took probably 2 or 3 years before, at least I wasn't thinking about it when I had nothing to do. And then I had other friends who, on many, Christadelphian friends, who on many occasions said that they know that rock isn't right and not scriptural, but they can't picture their life at all without it. And one example, I had one friend who realized it was wrong, burnt maybe hundreds of his CDs on one occasion, and then months later had all the CDs back again. So it's a huge addiction.
Kevin?
I was thinking in terms of what you mentioned for the Frank earlier about what maybe can lead you. So I think I found this that with the options of MP3, iPod type of things, it also there's a very high risk, obviously, because music is so readily available, what you want to do. But it's also been quite beneficial in some respects because of what is also potentially available in terms of Christadelphia. I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was very difficult to, you know, you sort of go to a Bible school, oh, there's a CD, I've got to get that one, and that'll be, you know, the one or two that I have. But but now we're able to go on, and there are, for example, I know Paul Billington's got Bible in the News, the weekly or bi-weekly called a podcast, but it's a short little thing you can download to your MP3 player, and you can have that come on, and there's other ecclesias that have put up talks. And I was thinking what you mentioned, what they did in Australia, is that I think we need more of that. There are a few ecclesias now that we've done, my wife and I have done some searches where we can find talks online. And I think we need to make that and Christadelphian music available, readily available, just as easily as it is to go to iTunes and click here, and within 10 seconds I've got a rock song. Well, we need to make sure that it's just as easy for our young people to access Christadelphian music, Christadelphian talks, things like that. I think that's where we have to be wise. If we don't provide it, then they're going to still go to iTunes, and all they're going to have there to choose from is worldly stuff. If we don't provide them with other avenues.
Tony?
Yeah, just listening to some of the comments and thinking about what we can do. Some of these things that we've talked about, I think, can be useful tools. The internet can be a useful tool. Even Facebook, as much as I've never been on it, I understand it can be a useful tool. It can, you know, you have family that live on in another part of the world and you want to show them the new grandkids or something of that sort. It can be a useful tool. But when these things become not just useful tools, but they become gods in our lives, and I think some of them can be, if they're dominating our time or we're using them for purposes which are not edifying, they are to the lust of the flesh. You know, it reminds me just of some well-known verses that we're all very familiar with, out of Joshua 24, Joshua 24:14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I just think, you know, we just need to continue to blow the trumpet that these things are in many respects ungodly. When they get to the point where they become gods of Egypt or of the Amorites, of the world, you know, we have to identify them for what they are, we have to condemn them for what they are, and we have to blow the trumpet and say, you know what, we've got to put these gods out from our midst, and as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we need brethren to stand up and say that, to continue to keep this kind of discussion in the front of our ecclesias. I think in our ecclesia, perhaps in Seattle, I wonder whether we're maybe a little naive about some of these things, that perhaps there's more out there than we even know. I hope not. But we've got to keep blowing the trumpet. These things are the problem that we're hearing. They are. We've got to see them for what they are. They are gods of Egypt, and we've got to put them under the oak tree, bury them, and leave them there.
Thank you. Well, we're just about out of time. I don't know if we really want to go any further in terms of time-wise. Is that right?
We have refreshments. We can talk about it, too, at the refreshments.
Yeah, I think that would be it. We just sort of wrap it up there, and you can talk about this later on, because, I mean, really, this is non-ending. It goes on and on and on. But I think we've at least broached the subject, and there's a lot of subjects like this, rather than Sisters Day or Brother anyway, that we need to talk about a little bit more, and try to give us some practical advice on how we might deal with this. And just one little final comment to Dan. All of these musical items living put on CDs have really helped a lot of people. They helped me many times, but I've had a long trip to take, and I can just say that when you have that music on, it brings you right back here. If you've been there when it was made, and it's just sort of like the fellowship of all your brothers and sisters again, even though you're driving by yourself. Or we put it on Sunday mornings. We regularly do that. Put those on Sunday mornings just to get us in, get our minds ready, or a little better ready for the meeting that day. So yeah, we do have some resources, and some brethren have labored quite a bit in trying to help us here. But boy, I tell you, the pitfalls that we can get into, and where this might ever go, and what our children are going to have to put up with, and how they're going to deal with it. I think it's worth all of our efforts to try to maybe come to grips with it, in the sense of at least putting some parameters on it for our children, that they might have a better opportunity to survive in it. So we'll leave it there. I'll turn it back to Dan.